This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, between 2 and 3 o'clock this afternoon. Coming up over the next hour, we'll be focusing on Derby, Brentford and Reading. We'll also be asking the question, how tough is it to get from the Championship into the Premier League? Some deem it the hardest league to get out of in a positive sense, but really, how hard is it and what is needed to make that step from the Championship into the Premier League? Also, asking this question I've been asking so many guests over the last few weeks, why is the Championship so closely packed this season? From West Brom in first to Derby in 16th, only 9 points covers all of those sides. Is it because the quality has improved or has it got worse? If you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp here on the Premier League Championship Fan Show. We've done the Premier League, we've done all of those 20 clubs. Now is the focus. As I said, this hour, every weekday afternoon between 2 and 3, is dedicated to all 24 Championship clubs. We seek to cover all 24 of them every single week. So our focus is very much on you, the Championship fans, every afternoon between 2 and 3 o'clock. We're going to be talking all things Derby now. I mentioned how in 16th they are, but there are only 9 points off the top of the table. It really is remarkable. I'm sure we can ask that question of our first guest now. And I'm delighted to say we're joined by Owen Bradley, presenter of Rams TV. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Owen. So let's start off with a biggie. Why is the Championship so closely packed this season? Is it because the quality has improved and there are so many better sides this season? Or is it the other way around? Is it actually that the kind of higher teams aren't as good and the lower teams have got slightly better, which means there are more kind of OK teams in the Championship?
It's a very good question. Afternoon, by the way. I mean, if you look at the team that Derby played this week to Middlesbrough, Derby finished 6th, Middlesbrough 7th last season, point between them. And yet both those teams are, you know, at the other end of the table. Certainly Middlesbrough, I think they slipped into the bottom three of the night. I honestly don't know. Because you look at a team like West Ham who suddenly improved, Forest had suddenly improved. And have slipped away. It is the cliche about the Championship every season that anybody can beat anybody on their given day. And I think it just becomes more and more true. There is, what I would add, though, is I think the teams toward the bottom of the Premier League a lot of the time actually are getting sort of sucked into the conversation as well. I remember last season when Derby played Southampton, notably, in the Cup and gave them a game and looked, you know, a lot better than Southampton. Not the amount of penalties in the end. So I think it's almost becoming a sort of Premier League top 10, maybe. And then almost the next 35 clubs, almost. I think you could almost group them together as there not being a great deal between them on any given Saturday. But yeah, the Championship's absolute bonkers. And Derby are as inconsistent as anybody.
It's remarkable when you look at, for example, the Carabao Cup fixtures. There are 8, obviously, 5 last night, 3 tonight. And I was so shocked I had to take a double check, actually, to make sure there were no Championship clubs in the fourth round of the League Cup. How surprising is that? Is that a case of more teams in the Championship prioritising their league form rather than a potential cup run? Or is it maybe that the Premier League sides are taking it more seriously and therefore it's kind of trounced the Championship clubs?
I think it's a few things. I think one this year with the draw, I think it might just be the way the cards have fallen a little bit. Obviously, Derby were knocked out by Forest, so that was, you know, a Championship club knocking out a Championship club, and then Forest go Arsenal in the next round and they got knocked out. I think for the Premier League clubs, sort of especially the mid-tier Premier League clubs, the chance of winning something is there for them. And so I think clubs are sort of coming back round now towards, we should be trying to compete to win trophies. So you've got that, maybe the Premier League clubs taking it a little bit more seriously. And I think as well in the Championship, the big prize is promotion, because that leap in finances is so important and is so big that a cup run and what you get from that financially. You know, Derby had a couple of cup runs last season that were useful, but if you could have said to them, swap United and Chelsea away games and Southampton in the Cup, and give us promotion and everything that comes with that, obviously you take promotion. I mean, Philip Coffey's approach was, and his approach is, that he wants to develop the academy and give young players a chance. He did that in the first round against Scunthorpe. He did that against Forest as well. If Derby had got three, I'm sure he would have done it in round three as well. And I think there are a few other clubs in the Championship that are taking that approach as well, because they're saying, from a business point of view and from a football point of view, we've got to develop our kids, we've got to give them a chance, and the Cup is a good place and a good way to get them minutes. So I think it's a few different things that are going through, but it is a strange one. I hadn't actually quite realised that there wasn't a single team left.
Looking then back at Derby's last game in the Championship last weekend, it was a 2-0 loss away at Hull. When you look at the stats, it perhaps slightly changes the story. A 2-0 loss, sorry, on the face of it, looks like an incredibly disappointing display, like they were completely outplayed. But 61% possession, open match where the Rams didn't take advantage of the chances. Philip Cocker said he was happy with the performance, actually, despite the loss. So does on this occasion, is this one of those losses where ultimately, obviously, Derby fans will be frustrated losing any game, but actually the performance might lead them to think there are some positives to take from the game?
Well, I think it's the Championship, and it's the conversation that we've just been having in a nutshell, in the sense of Derby beat Wigan on the Wednesday previously, despite playing pretty badly. Wigan were the better team, but they couldn't find a way through. Keller Ridge made a couple of good saves, and Derby snatched it late on with a brilliant goal from Graham Shinney. Then on Saturday, Derby's performance was better. They weren't brilliant, but it was better at Hull. They had a goal disallowed at 0-0, I think because it came off Tom Lawrence's arm. And with the way that the rules are now, you know, even if it's accidental and all the rest of it, you can't award a goal that's hit any part of an attacking player's arm. If that goes in, it's probably a bit different. And then with 20 minutes or so to go, Derby just switched off defensively, and Jared Bowen is one of the best in the Championship at the moment, certainly. And he gets two late goals and Derby lose the game. And so I can understand why the manager was a little more upbeat than he has been, because what he'd seen was much better than what he'd seen on the Wednesday. Big picture for Derby is that they can't get their way win at the moment. They haven't got one since the opening nine of the season against Huddersfield. And the contrast between the away form and the home form is incredibly stark. But we're back again to the Championship is so inconsistent, and the teams that can pull a run together are the teams that will be up there. At the moment, Derby can't put one together.
I wanted to get your views, Owen, on two new midfielders at the club this season. Graham Shinney, who obviously scored his first goal recently after his move from Aberdeen. Also Christian Billick, who was on loan at Charlton last season, has signed permanently for Derby from Arsenal. What have you made of those two? Obviously, it's only recently that they've kind of both been playing at the same time. I know Graham Shinney was injured earlier in the season. How are they faring in this Derby side?
Oh, they're both brilliant guys, first and foremost. They've both had slightly stuttered starts, although for different reasons. So Graham Shinney, he signed before the end of last season. He signed a pre-contract agreement. So, you know, he wasn't Philip Cocu's signing coming in. And for the first few weeks, he couldn't get a look in. He played in the Cup, but he hadn't had a single minute in the league. And Jason Knight, who's a young midfielder out of the academy, very capable young player, actually, that's a name to watch. He was getting the nod ahead of Graham Shinney off the bench, and Jason Knight started a couple of games. And a lot of supporters were sort of saying, you know, why have we brought this guy in and why can't he get an opportunity? And he was quite open about the fact, actually, when he eventually came into the side, that, you know, he'd been frustrated and he'd been to the manager and asked what he needed to do and used that feedback and used it brilliantly and made his debut at home against Luton and against his brother, Andrew, who was playing for Luton that afternoon. He was Derby's man of the match in an important victory just before the international break. He's played every game since. He got the winning goal overnight. And now he looks like he's an important part of the side and he's already becoming a bit of a fan favourite. A lot of comparisons to Craig Bryson, who was, you know, loved at Derby, loved at Pride Park, who ironically went to Aberdeen in the summer. Christian Bielik, a little bit different. He's coming as the club record signing. Fee could get up to £10 million. He's had a bit of a stalled start because he didn't really have a proper pre-season away with Poland. I like what I see from him. He's a big guy. I wonder if sometimes the pace of the game gets away from him a little bit, but I think he's still adjusting. I think he's only just really up to speed. Not quite figured out his best position. I think a lot of disruption that's happened in the side, you know, after the off-the-field incidents, Derby have lost Richard Keogh. They've lost Tom Huddleston to injury as well. But actually what it's meant is that now you've got Bielik and Shinney together, who has a two in the middle, look like they complement each other quite well and look like they might start to build something. So Philip Cocu might have almost inadvertently stumbled onto quite a good midfield anchor, but they need a few more games together to really see if that's going to work.
Before we look ahead to this weekend's game, which is a home against Middlesbrough, I just wanted to go back to the Carabao Cup again, because on our screens in here, I was seeing highlights of Derby's win last season in the Carabao Cup away at Old Trafford. Obviously, they won on penalties at Manchester United in the Cup. They pushed Chelsea very, very far at Stamford Bridge also. How much do you think that that helped Derby last season by having those occasions, having an all right... Obviously, it wasn't a very, very long Cup run, but some big games in there, away at United, away at Chelsea. How much did that aid Derby last season? How much could it? Obviously, we're talking hypothetically now because it hasn't happened, but how much could it have helped Philip Cocu this season having that Cup run? Not necessarily a long one, but maybe a big scalp along the way.
It's an interesting question because certainly at the time, it didn't really help in the sense as they had a bit of a Cup hangover. So after the Saturday after a midweek cup game, that they were struggling to get results. I think I might say they lost away at Bolton, having beaten United on the Wednesday. They certainly lost to somebody, and Frank Lampard actually got quite a lot of criticism for not changing his team and shuffling out some tired legs. But on the other hand, the hobby, especially toward the start of last season, and they also had another spell from sort of January onwards in the league, they were a bit boring and they were a bit frustrating, and they weren't getting the results that people wanted. But what they had was these fantastic nights of the Cup, and I always say that football really is about moments and about memories, and what Derby got last season courtesy of the Cup was some supporters got some brilliant nights out and brilliant memories, and yeah, the performance at Chelsea, winning at Old Trafford, all that sort of thing actually is the sort of thing that you will talk about for years to come. You're asking me about it now, so they were useful and they can be useful, but it's impossible to say, you know, if Derby hadn't had those extra matches in the Cup, would they have had a bit more in the tank? Would Jack Marriott and Martin Waghorn not have broken down before the prior final and then, you know, not been able to start at Wembley? If they had, would things be different? I mean, it's very difficult to sort of take it out of context. But what, as I say, what they provide is some fantastic memories. And I'm sure, we saw it last night, we'll see it tonight, but for some supporters, the Cup will provide them some brilliant memories this evening, whatever happens with the rest of their seasons.
And just finally then, Owen, looking ahead to the next game, it's at home for Derby against Middlesbrough this weekend. We've been talking about the crazy world that is the Championship. I'm guessing if I were to ask you for a prediction this weekend, I think the answer would pretty much be it could be absolutely anything, because what we've come to expect in this league is very much the unexpected.
Yeah, well, Derby have won the last three at home, best record in the league over those three matches, same record. Middlesbrough haven't won in seven, can't buy a victory. So, obviously, Middlesbrough will win this weekend. That's just, you know, sort of how it seems to go. Derby, again, are left needing a reaction after Saturday. And they've generally been quite good at doing that this season. And with the way they've been playing at home, they look like they've figured it out. So, I think you have to be confident, if you're Derby, that you'll get home. And it becomes sort of more important now, because when you're not getting the results away, it puts that little bit of extra pressure on at home as well. So, with a week to work with the players, you know, Philip Cocker is a manager that really does the work on the training ground. That's what he loves. He talks a lot about improving players individually. And I think we've seen that a bit already through the Derby squad. So always optimistic when Derby are at home.
Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Owen. That was Owen Bradley, presenter of Rams TV. Derby's next game is on the weekend at home against Middlesbrough. And as Owen said, the statistics and the form points to a Derby home win. So what will it be? It will be a Middlesbrough win on the weekend. That is how nutty the Championship is. If you've got views, as I said, some of the big questions we're asking this afternoon here on the Championship Fan Show. One, why is the Championship so closely packed this season? Is it that the quality has improved, or has it actually generally got a little bit worse? And also, how difficult is it to get out of the Championship? What is needed to get you from the Championship into the Premier League? Call us on 0208 7020 558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number. On Monday night, it was an impressive win for Brentford. They won 3-1 away at rivals QPR side Benrahma and Ollie Watkins with the goals. We'll be getting the Bees' perspective next.
Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us, call us on 0208 70 20 558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number. We're going to be talking all things Brentford now, and I'm delighted to say we are joined by Mick Cabell, a commentator for I Follow Brentford. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Mick. It was an impressive victory away at QPR on Monday night. 3-1. QPR could have gone into the playoff positions. How impressive a victory, not just in terms of the result, but the manner of it on Monday night.
I think that's the key, Kieran. It's the manner. It was the statement of intent to the rest of the Championship. You can go under the radar for a little while, and Brentford have been, we've had conversations on your show before about a little bit of underachieving. We got a win at Barnsley, and that was on the Sky at the weekend, and people saying, well, are they going to break into life? But all of a sudden, 3 wins on the bounce in about 10 days and 3 goals in each, and people in the Championship start taking notice. And I think that was the most impressive thing about the display at Rangers.
Yeah, we've spoken, Mick, about Brentford's indifferent starts the season and what's the reason is behind that. But it does just show. I mean, we've been asking the question all week about the kind of why the Championship is so closely packed. But irrelevant of that, all it takes is a few wins. Brentford, a lot was expected of the start of the season. They've now started to kick into gear. They're only 3 points off the top six. It feels like after a bit of a poor start, Brentford are really starting to get things going now.
Yeah, I think, Kieran, that was the case. You look pre-season and the players that Brentford bought were all quality professionals, and some were slightly unknown but had a really good pedigree. And Brentford, if anything, have a reputation for nurturing young talent, and people are pretty smart on who they sign, so they keep an eye on it, but it just wasn't clicking. And it does take team players to time to adapt. You look at Benrahma, who's an absolute star in the Championship now, and most people in the Championship know he's a really good player. But up until Christmas last year, he wasn't making the impression on the Championship than he was after Christmas. It took him a little while to click in, and now he's flying. Now we've got Wormo. Sergio Canos had an unfortunate injury that's put him out for a number of months. So when Wormo now comes in, he knows that he's playing most weeks, and he's responded. He's responded by putting an assist over for the goal against QPR, scoring an absolute screamer at Swansea, and starting the comeback against Millwall. So players are beginning to click in. What Brentford were they were always a little bit more difficult to beat, but they were losing tight games. We lost a game against Forest in early October. There was nothing in the game except one chance. That can happen in the Championship. But what happens is if you're traditionally tight at the back, which is what Brentford have addressed, then they've got striking prowess and their midfield is starting to click. And when you get that, Kieran, you're starting to win games. I think the most impressive thing is that they're winning games, scoring 3 goals at a time. And that's what people are taking notice of.
I saw an interview with Pontus Janssen, who obviously signed from Leeds over the summer, in the build-up to Monday's game. And he said how he was targeting promotion. He was quite forceful in that ambition. Is that the aim amongst all Brentford fans? Because as I said, at the start of the season, there was a lot of expectation from outside of Brentford that they would be right in the mix for a playoff spot. So is that, from your perspective, Mick, from Brentford fans, is that your genuine aim this season? Is actually, yeah, we should be targeting promotion because we have a squad and players capable of doing so?
Yeah, completely. I think you look at it and you look at what we've done in the last 3 games. And the games that we've lost, we've only lost by 1-0. Most of the majority of the 5 defeats that we've had have been by 1 goal. Now, if you're not actually conceding many goals, but you're starting to play well and win games. And I think the most impressive thing is we beat Swansea, who were fourth at the time, 3-0 on their own patch. QPR could have gone second on Monday night, but they were dispatched 3-1. And anybody that saw the game, regardless of whether you thought it was a penalty or not a penalty, you'd be a QPR fan if you weren't saying that Brentford were deserved winners. I mean, most neutrals would say that Brentford were the stronger team. Now, if you're actually going to win and win well against sides that are in the top 4 or top 8 of the division, then you must have promotion in your sights at some point. So Pontus Janssen is a very forceful character, a very optimistic character, but there is a reason behind his optimism that on our day, Brentford can beat anybody in the Championship. But it's been that consistency that we've spoken about, Kieran, all season on your show. And today, and the last 10 days, the consistency has arrived and Brentford are beginning to look, one win off the playoffs? And that's where you want to be. You can be anything from 3 to 6 to get into the playoffs. But then if you put the consistency together, you could even crash in the top 2.
One man that's been in fine form so far this season is Ollie Watkins. He's into double figures now after two goals on Monday night. A lot was asked of Ollie Watkins at the start of the season, considering Brentford lost Neil Morpay over the summer. Could Watkins play in a slightly different position to what he was used to as a centre-forward? Could he deal with that pressure? My goodness, he is showing that at this level he can cut it as a centre-forward.
Yeah, I think this is the thing. It's difficult when you're playing. He's been a winger and he's come in off the wing and scored some vital goals for Brentford the last two seasons. He's now playing as the main man up front. And it's a difficult role to play, you know, playing with your back to goal, holding the defenders up. But where Watkins is smart is that he's learning and he's adapting. He's a young man and he's learning his game. He enjoys his football. He enjoys playing at Brentford. It's a young team and he's growing with it. And what you saw certainly on Monday night was the header for the goal. He ghosted into space like a number nine does. Wasn't the strongest header in the world, Kieran, but it certainly was goal bound and Kelly couldn't stop it. And that's what you want from your centre forward, getting it on target, but getting in positions to score. And that's what Watkins is doing very successfully this season.
Are you a bit concerned, Mick, without wanting to kind of put a down on things, are you a bit concerned that in January that the likes of Ollie Watkins, side Benrahma, who I know for a fact there were Premier League clubs interested in him over the summer that Brentford had to fight off. Are you a bit concerned that when the January window comes around, Premier League clubs maybe just outside the relegation zone looking for a little bit of impetus will be looking at guys like Watkins and Benrahma potentially as options for that?
If Brentford are doing well, there will always be clubs sniffing around Benrahma and Watkins. That shows that Brentford are doing well. The difference is that if Brentford are doing well, Kieran, they have the option to talk to the player and say to Benrahma and say to Watkins, would you like to go and play for a Premiership side that's struggling? Or do you want to play in a side that's trying to get into the Premiership so you can achieve that aim if you stay with us the next 3 months playing in the team that you're playing rather than going into a struggling team? And sometimes with players, it's not just about the money, it's about career. It's about career prospects. So I think that January, if you're talking to somebody like Benrahma and we're fourth in the division, why would somebody like Benrahma go to a Premier League club that's 18th in the Premiership, for instance, when you're fourth in the Championship and you're flying high, playing in a team that's winning every week? It's an interesting conundrum. But from a Brentford point of view, we don't have to sell them. We wouldn't want to sell them in January if you're fourth or sixth in the table. It makes no sense. And certainly the people at Brentford are very sensible indeed. We've seen that with the recruitment. It's not about selling. We sell when we believe the player is at the right time to go. And if you're fourth or sixth in the table, our people behind the scenes are smart people. They'd want to keep them. And I'm sure that's how they would sell the project of Premiership, Operation Premiership.
Do you think one of the factors as to what Brentford might do this season, why they might be in contention, is the squad? Because how do you believe they're dealing with some of the injuries that you've mentioned? Sergi Canos is out for a little while. Nikos Karelis, obviously one of Brentford's strikers, will be out for a significant time after suffering a serious knee injury. Do you think that Brentford have the squad capable of dealing with some of these forward injuries? And that's why many expect Brentford to be in the picture for promotion.
Yeah, completely, because we have a forward planning. I mean, most clubs do, but Brentford is in effect. So you look at it, and you've just mentioned Canos and Karelis there, two injuries that is going to affect their seasons. But what you've done is you bring Mbeumo in, and instead of him playing 70 minutes, he's playing 85 minutes now, or he's not coming off the bench. And what you bring in is the other summer signing, Valencia, who was a couple of million pounds from Europe, and again, very handy player. He was in part of the third goal that set up Ollie Watkins at QPR on Monday. But what happens is that we've also got a guy coming in from January, Halil. And like I said, nobody's ever heard of him, 19-20, scoring goals for fun in the Dutch league. And he looks an absolute prospect. Remember, we got Marcus Force on loan at Wimbledon. So Brentford always have plans in place so that injuries do happen, but we have plans in place. And for a club that's on the up, that's what you need, and Brentford have them.
Up next then for Brentford, Mick, on Saturday afternoon is a home game against Huddersfield, but they've started to just get a little bit of momentum. They're on a bit of an unbeaten run under Danny Cowley, and it just feels like at the moment, with how inconsistent the Championship is, it's all about getting on a run. How do you see Saturday's game unfolding? You'd think it'd be a home win, but what the Championship has told you this season is don't think you ever know what's going to happen next.
I think you called that correctly. I think if you think it's a home win, it probably won't be. And if you think Huddersfield continue their unbeaten run, it probably won't be. It's exactly that. It comes at a different angle. I think the Huddersfield have stopped the bleed, and that's what they needed to do. I think they'd come with Brentford looking not to lose. If they could win, all well and been. But Brentford at home are a different animal. But I think Brentford being a young team, this is what I'll be interested to see on Saturday, is young players play with confidence. It's a confidence thing. When they lose, their shoulders slump like anybody. But with young players, you notice it more. But when they win, Kieran, oh my goodness, all of a sudden, all the tricks come out and the party pieces. And that's what Brentford are doing at the moment. There's lots of smiles around the young players. And there's obviously a bond beginning to form. These players weren't playing together this time last season. I think Thomas Frank said there was only two of the playing staff or in the 11 that played at QPR this time last year. So that's the kind of turnover you have. But once they start to bond together, and they've been together nearly 3 months now, you started to see in the last 2 weeks that there's a lot of smiles down at Brentford. They know they've got the talent. They just didn't have the consistency. Now they're finding the formula. Watch out the Championship.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Mick. That was Mick Cabell, commentator for I Follow Brentford, talking about this winning run. They've started to get a bit of momentum, and with the nature of the Championship table this season, in the space of two or three games, we're thinking, oh, are Brentford, despite the fact that so many people are expecting so much of them at the start of the season, are they getting sucked in towards the bottom? Suddenly, three wins out of three, and they're kind of just one win now away from the top six. So it just shows how things can turn around so quickly in this league. Brentford gaining a little bit of momentum. They're at home against Huddersfield on Saturday, and as Mick said, as we've been discussing the last few days, if you think Brentford are going to win at home, then if you're expecting that, well, expect the complete opposite from it. If you've got any views on our two big questions this afternoon in the Championship, why is the Championship so closely packed this season, and what does it take to get promoted into the Premier League? Call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. One team that has changed their manager this season are Reading. They sacked Jose Gomes and have appointed Mark Bowen, who was the sporting director. And despite the original negativity, there have been a couple of decent results since Mark Bowen took over. So we're talking all things Royals next.
This is Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, you can continue to get in touch with us. Call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. As I mentioned, we're going to be talking all things Reading now, and I'm delighted to say we are joined by Nicholas Tunney from the Reading Chronicle. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Nicholas. Reading just outside the relegation zone on goal difference, although their game on the weekend obviously was cancelled, postponed due to a waterlog pitch at Nottingham Forest. What's the feeling amongst Reading fans at the moment? Is there that real distinct worry that they might get relegated, or is it still far too early in the season to be worrying about that?
I think it's still far too early in the season. You know, obviously they've had the change of manager of Mark Bowen, and he's had a win and a draw, so a good start for him. You know, I think that game at the weekend, I think they would have preferred to have played it. All right, Forest are doing well, but, you know, they had a bit of momentum from the draw at QPR and the win at home to Preston. You know, I think the appointment of Bowen wasn't met with, you know, a lot of Reading fans probably didn't want him. They wanted someone else. But, you know, at the moment, you could see a distinct difference in play. And I think still it's far too early, you know, and if they can perform like they have the past two games, they'll have absolutely nothing to worry about in terms of relegation.
What was, you mentioned obviously the negativity, we kind of experienced it firsthand, quite a few WhatsApp messages came in, not exactly overwhelmed and delighted with the appointment of Mark Bowen, who obviously was the sporting director for a number of months before taking over. What was the main reason behind the kind of negativity surrounding it? Was it the fact that he was the sporting director and then effectively kind of appointed himself? Was it more to do with a lack of being the main manager at any club? Obviously, he's been an assistant coach a lot, especially to Mark Hughes, but hasn't necessarily led a club that often. What was the main reason? Or was it just the fact that they wanted someone else, someone like a Chris Hughton, who was available and they didn't get him?
I think, you know, a multitude of those things, really. But I think the main thing was the fact that I think fans felt that he, you know, stuff was a bit untoward in terms of getting rid of Gomes and maybe appointing himself, obviously, since having spoke to Bowen. You know, that wasn't the case at all, and he, you know, couldn't be further from the truth. I think the whole thing that he is very inexperienced as a manager. He's only been an assistant, you know, kind of in his coaching days. You know, Championship is arguably the toughest league out of all four in England. So, you know, they're getting someone with very little experience in terms of being a manager. And then, yeah, as you say, you know, there were other people out there. You know, there was someone interviewed for the role who, but, you know, he turned Reading down, apparently, was what even Bowen said to us. So, yeah, I think it's a whole multitude of those things. But I think the thing that got under Reading fans' skins was the fact that, you know, I think they felt that getting rid of someone as popular as Jose Gomez and you know, kind of maybe installing himself was the main thing. It wasn't met with, you know, even before the Preston game, you know, you could hear a couple of boos from the press box. Not many, you know, claps when he was announced as the new manager. So, but, you know, I think in those two games already, you know, we've seen a real positive reaction, certainly from the players. So long may that continue.
You mentioned how there has been quite a noticeable difference between the Reading side before Mark Bowen took over and these two games since. A 1-0 home win against Preston where there was that 98th minute winner from Matt Miazga. Then a 2-2 draw away at QPR. We've had a good start to the season. What's been the most noticeable difference? Is it simply that a change of manager has rejuvenated, re-energised these players, or has there actually been quite a significant tactical change from Gomes to Bowen?
No, I think there is a definite change in tactics. They're getting the ball forward a lot quicker to the strikers. You know, they play two up top away at QPR. You know, that's a team who've been doing well. You know, that's a bold statement there. And, you know, he's repaid with both Puskas and Baldock scoring that night. So, yeah, I think they're pushing higher up the pitch. They're trying to pen teams in, a bit more of a high press. They seem a bit more committed. They're playing the ball, you know, playing the game at a higher tempo. The ball's been played quicker. Instead of passing it out the back, you've got the keeper, not all the time, but certainly more often, kicking it longer towards the front men. And, you know, I think they're more suited to that style of play. You know, Gomez is trying to implement a more continental style, playing out of the back. But I believe that Reading are much more used to playing in this fashion, just a lot more high tempo, a lot more English, if you like. And, as I say, at the moment, you know, all right, they got the better result against Preston, but I think the performance of QPR was actually better. And on another day, they could have nicked it at Loftus Road. But, you know, they'll be going into this game on Saturday full of confidence.
Obviously, coming up for Reading, back-to-back home games, actually, over the next two Saturdays. It's Millwall on Saturday afternoon, then Luton the week after that. Is this an opportunity for Reading to gain a little bit of momentum with two home games and start pushing themselves away from the relegation zone? Because it is very early on, 14 games into a 46-game season. But what Reading don't want is a situation where at Christmas time, they're still just hovering above. They want to put some distance, which means that post-Christmas into the new year, they can play with that freedom of not having to look over their shoulders, instead looking forward.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, this is a great opportunity. As you say, those two home games against teams kind of very close to them in the table. Presents a real good opportunity for the Royals to come up the table. You know, if they can perform like they did at Loftus Road and put that into the Millwall game and then following that Luton game, you know, 4 points is a minimum. So, you know, I think the players and manager will realise that represents, you know, a real crunch time of the season. You know, if they lose these back-to-back or only get 1 point, you know, that's a real step backwards. And then they've got the international break to come, and then you've got the Christmas and the fixtures come thick and fast, you know, not far after that. So, yeah, this is a vital opportunity for Reading to pick up some more points and get an unbeaten, you know, real good unbeaten run going. You know, they've got the players, like Ovi Ejaria has been excellent the past couple of games. They've got the players more than capable of lifting Reading up the table, and they just need to, you know, put that plan into action, really.
Obviously, we're in 14 games into the season. Reading have made a managerial change, but based on the squad that Reading have at their disposal, what do you think is realistic for Reading this season, both in terms of what you thought at the start of the season and now? Where should Reading be in the context of the Championship with the squad at their disposal this season?
Well, I mean, there was still, even when Jose was in charge, there was still talk of getting into the, you know, pushing for the top six. I personally can't see that. I think a top half finish would be good. That is improvement on last season. All right, they've spent quite a bit of money in August. You know, the likes of Puskas, Lucas Jao didn't come cheap. But you know, you're asking someone like Puskas to come into, you know, a completely different league straight away and, you know, hit the ground running. And, it, you know, he did with that Cardiff game. It's taken a while. I think that goal against QPR is doing the world good. But I believe that, I think it's going to be very hard to get into the top six. All right, in terms of points, they're not a million miles behind, but they're going to have to really go on, you know, a really, really good run to try and push up there towards Christmas and beyond. But I think top half, definitely. You know, they've got some good, solid centre-halves, lots of Morrison and Miazga, all good for this level. I just feel just in wide areas is where they lack a little bit, Reading, in terms of quality, in terms of, you know, crosses. Swift and Ajari are fantastic at this level, but I just feel that's maybe where it lets them down. You know, Andy Yeardom is a good wing-back, but in terms of a winger beating a man and whatnot, you know, I just feel that maybe they lack there. And then the goals up front, Baldock is a canny goal scorer at this level. But I just feel that might be their Achilles heel a bit, and that might stop them from you know, challenging for the top six.
Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Nicholas. That was Nicholas Tunney from the Reading Chronicle, who, as we mentioned, when Mark Bowen was appointed as the head coach, was met with a lot of negativity, to say the least. There weren't exactly many Reading fans particularly positive about the news that their sporting director, who's had very little full managerial experience as a number one rather than as a number two, not exactly met with a great response. But a win in his first game as Preston, not a bad way to introduce yourself as the new Reading manager, with a 98th minute winner against Preston, and then a 2-2 draw at QPR, which perhaps is a game that you learn slightly more from away from home against a QPR side that made a good start to the season. Obviously, their game on the weekend was postponed against Nottingham Forest, which would have been frustrating for both sides and also both sets of fans. Obviously, that game will be rearranged for a later date. But Reading back in action on Saturday at home against Millwall. Two home games on the trot. Obviously, that Millwall game this weekend and then Luton 7 days after that. So maybe an opportunity for Reading over these next couple of games to force their way out from the bottom part and put some distance between themselves and the relegation zone. Obviously, we'll continue to ask a couple of questions in the Championship this afternoon. Why is the Championship so closely packed this season? Is it because the overall quality of the league has gone up another notch, or is it the fact that there aren't actually that many outstanding teams in the Championship this season? Also, what is required, what is necessary to make sure you make that jump from the Championship to the Premier League? As a few of our guests have said in this hour, it's seen as the most difficult league to get out of. It's the most challenging league out of all of the English leagues, and there is so much at stake for getting promoted. What does it require? And also, what shouldn't you do if you're trying to get promotion? If you want to get in touch, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. We'll continue to ask some of those questions and answer some of those questions next.
Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, if you want to get in touch, share your views on your Championship club. Obviously, this hour, every weekday afternoon between 2 and 3, is dedicated to all the Championship fans out there. All 24 clubs are covered. Call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. As I mentioned, some of the big questions we've been asking this afternoon, and it's a question. One of the questions is one I've been asking of a number of the guests we've had over the last few days, and fortunately, our guests usually respond, "That's a very interesting question," which is always music to my ears to hear that I'm asking interesting questions. And it's, why is the Championship so closely packed this season? That if I just go through the table with you, obviously near the bottom, those sides aren't doing very well, and that's what you'd expect. But it really comes for a lot of the Championship. So West Brom are currently table toppers. They're on 27 points. And to put that into a bit of perspective, they are not even averaging 2 points a game. They're very close to it, but they're not quite averaging 2 points a game, which is a surprise for the table toppers in the Championship at this stage of the season. Preston are in second on 25, but so are Leeds and Swansea. On 24, Sheffield Wednesday and Bristol City, who round out the playoff positions. Two sides on 23 points, three sides on 22 points, one on 21, one on 19, and then three in 18. And that leaves us at Derby in 16th. We were talking to Owen Bradley earlier from Rams TV about Derby, who are currently sat in that 16th position. But between them and West Brom, so first to 16th, 9 points Only 9 points, 14 games into the season. Why is this the case? And we've had contrasting answers, actually, from guests. I've also asked Love Sport's very own and part of the Fulhamish podcast, Dom Betts, about his views on that. I asked him kind of as a bit of out of curiosity, what's your view on why it is so closely packed? And his response was he doesn't feel like the quality is there this year, that there are no outstanding sides. There's not three or four sides running away with it. And actually, there probably won't be a team that's going to be right at the top quite considerably. And he says the level probably has dropped, that there are a lot of OK sides, but not a lot of particularly good teams. We've had other responses saying actually that it is a little bit better this season, that you've got more good sides, more sides that are competitive. I think you're seeing in the championship at the moment, you look through the table, you look through the teams in the table, and there are a whole host of different sides. So we have sides that have just been relegated. So you've got Fulham, you've got Cardiff, and you've got Huddersfield. You've then got other sides that have kind of been recently relegated. So sides that have recently been in there, Stoke are one of those, Middlesbrough are one of those, Swansea City are one. You've got Hull, who've recently been in there, West Brom, obviously. And then you've got some other sides that are kind of notoriously big sides, but haven't been in the Premier League for a long while. So you're thinking of a Leeds, who everyone always bangs on about. You're talking about Sheffield Wednesday. You're talking about Nottingham Forest. So there's a whole host of different types of sides in different positions. Some of those sides that have just come down from the Premier League and over the last, not just from last season, but over the last couple of years, are those sides that are still benefiting from parachute payments. So it lasts obviously a few years and then it stops. So you've potentially got more money in the Championship. Teams are spending 9, 10, 11 million pounds on players when actually just 2 or 3 years ago, they were only spending £2 to £3 million on those players, or only able to spend maybe a maximum of £2 or £3 million. Whereas clubs are now more open and perhaps have more money to invest into double figures, millions pounds wise. So it's a really tough one actually to answer, is to know what the answer is. Ultimately, we perhaps will be better informed and have a better acknowledgement of what's going on in about 10 or 15 games time, once we're about the halfway stage of the season, as to really what's going on. That, as I said, there's only 9 points that covers first to 16th. Will that still be the case in 10 games? No, I don't think that will be the case. But it is so interesting that every single week of the Championship this season so far, you think you know a result, and it's perhaps fortunate that obviously anyone that knows, that listens to the Premier League Fan Show, knows how much myself, Laurie, and Charlie enjoy doing the Premier League predictions. And sometimes we give grief to each other for not getting a result. If we were predicting the Championship, my goodness, I worry about our averages every week as to how many results we'd get right, because it is so unpredictable. I genuinely think if you were doing a predictions league for the Championship this season, I'd say think about a prediction you think. You think, oh, I believe West Brom are going to beat Wigan 3-0 at home, and then completely go against that. And you'd probably actually be quite accurate with your prediction. It is phenomenal looking at how close the Championship is, that you take a side like Nottingham Forest. Pretty much 2 weeks ago, Forest was sat second, joint top with West Brom. Now, granted, they had a game postponed the other day. They're now sat 10th. It really is amazing that you can win a couple of games and you go up about 9 places. You lose a couple of games, it's exactly the opposite. Nottingham Forest have dropped 8-9 places in the space of 2 games. It really is remarkable. If you've got any views on that, why is the Championship so packed this season? Why has a kind of a concertina effect happened this season? Also asking how difficult it is to get out of the Championship. Many people said, I think Mick Cabell, the Brentford, our Brentford man earlier this hour, said how it is the toughest league out of the four English leagues. It's, for some people, seen as the toughest league in world football. And obviously there's a huge prize dangling at the end of it, potentially as much as £200 million is at stake for promotion into the Premier League. It is massive. Owen Bradley from Rams TV said, when I asked him about a Carabao Cup run, he said, promotion more precious than a cup run. The simple economics are that the getting promotion is perhaps more realistic, and two, is more precious. It's so valuable in terms of the money for not just the short term, the long term futures of some of these clubs. But how difficult is it to get out of the Championship? What is needed to get promotion into the Premier League? Obviously, some teams might say, well, it's easy to drop back out of the Championship once you get promoted to from League One. And we're seeing sides this season with quite contrasting fortunes coming up. You look at Charlton compared to Barnsley, massive contrast between the two, that Charlton are ninth on 22 points, and considering, I'm not going to keep banging on about the owner, but considering the constraints that Lee Bowyer is under, it is utterly phenomenal the job he's done. Only Liverpool and Manchester City have gained more league points in 2019 than Lee Bowyer's side. The other end of the spectrum, Daniel Stendel did a terrific job at Barnsley, was much loved by the fans, shown by a day after he was sacked, he was invited to a night out to thank him for his work. He got them into the Championship. They're currently sat bottom without a manager still. So it's not easy to kind of come up from League One and be accomplished and stay in there. So what is needed to get from the Championship into the Premier League to gain promotion? And I looked around and read quite a lot of blogs, kind of listened to a few podcasts as to what exactly is needed, and different views from different fans. I think obviously the one word that you could say about any league and the Championship is kind of a prime example of this. And this season has been the complete opposite. It's consistency. This season has been dominated by inconsistency, that very few sides have been able to put more than three or four games unbeaten on the trot. And even in that case, they're not winning three or four games on the trot. So consistency is absolutely key. Importance of a transfer strategy. There isn't necessarily a definitive way about spending loads of money or not, that you can take a Wolves example, not spending a lot of money, spending a lot of money and getting promoted, that you then contrast it with a Sheffield United or a Norwich, not spending a huge amount of money and dominating against a side like Leeds in order to get in there. So it's not necessarily about spending a lot of money. It's about knowing your transfer strategy and backing it, that saying you're either going to invest in youth, or you might invest in experience or a certain type of player or a certain age of player, but it's backing that transfer strategy and going with it. Championship experience for managers isn't necessarily the key to success. I think that's another thing that some people pointed out, that Daniel Farker at Norwich is a key example of that, that you don't necessarily need to bring in someone that is used to being in the Championship, that has been at a whole host of clubs, knows the league. Actually, if you believe in what you're doing, you understand the league that you're coming into, you do your research, but it's not necessarily absolutely essential that you do that. A mixture of youth and experience, and a bit of depth as well, that mixing, not just going fully with youth or fully with experience, but actually mixing the two together, but also having a squad capable of dealing with injuries. We talked about Brentford's injuries in attacking areas. They're having a squad big enough to deal with that. And also maybe what not to do, peaking too soon. Leeds did it last season. They thought about February time, they were absolutely guaranteed promotion, and they didn't. It's about timing your run perfectly. Leeds didn't. Aston Villa did it to perfection. If you'd have said this time last year Aston Villa would be in the Premier League this season, people would probably be laughing at you. But Dean Smith's side in the second half of last season got their run at exactly the right time, and it's about making sure that you can peak at the right time. And those are some of the ways in which you can get promoted from the potentially the toughest league maybe in world football into the promised land of the Premier League.
This is Love Sport.